Yeah, welcome to the Weed Show, the Wednesday Weed Show. We're doing it this year. This is the debut of the brand new Ducati. That's the Shorely Designs Red Bull Ducati race team. Those are hand painted fenders. And Troy says he didn't paint the shrouds to try to get through the year. So I got the jacket on because I got to host the event and I got a free dinner out of it. This is the unveiling that we're paying about 3 bucks for. We knew there would be Barcia and Berandes on the bike. But we didn't actually see what the bikes would look like, technically, until tonight. And there's a lot of people behind the scenes that are important to this project. He doesn't like to talk much, but that's Siggy. And this guy does talk. His name is Chuck Bennett. A little bit. You too, bro. What I love about the Ducati team is that it's a little bit of old and a little bit of new. So yes, Ducati is obviously a brand new brand to this space. But the principles behind it, really, the factory connection is a massive deal. So you've got Rick Zielfelder, who I just talked to right there, Ziggy. But he's also brought a lot of the people from the factory connection, Geico. Remember Geico Honda team? Josh Weisner, who was the team manager there, is now the team manager here. Weisner tells me they got two other employees they brought in and more they want to bring in as the years go by. And basically have the same program, the same staff that they did the very successful Geico Honda unit. And have them run the Ducati program. And then the Shorely Designs team is well established as well. They don't have quite as much of a staff left over from when they were running a race team, but certainly Troy's influence and other people behind the scenes, that's a big part of it as well. So you've got the new Ducati element, and you've got the old with the race teams that are very familiar with this sport, so that's a good combination. Now I'm going to show you some of Troy's really cool helmets here, and then I'm going to send it to some interviews with Barcia, Paolo Ciabatti of Ducati, and Ferrandis. That's a Brandon Hartranft helmet. This is my favorite. Look at this Stu helmet. 2013 Stu helmet. And this is a Stu golf helmet. That's the Easy Rider tribute helmet. I guess a football helmet of Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. Kyle Busch helmet. This is the famous Jeremy McGrath helmet with real $100 bills built right in. Showtime. That's a Sean Palmer downhill mountain bike helmet from his heyday. And look at this McGrath one. It's got an American flag on it, lights. I don't see the Dingleberries one, but check. Oh, dude, that's the one with the lights on the back. Unbelievable. And this, how about this piece? This is Brock Glover's helmet. He won the last Supercross he ever raced in at the 88 LA Coliseum. That matched the pink gear. Just want to mention that Weed Show Wednesday is brought to you by our friends at Yoshimura. Hey, everybody. And I'm just high-fiving all around. It's brought to you by our friends at Yoshimura. And Yoshimura's got the exhaust for just about everything. I don't know if they have one for these yet, but I have a feeling they will. If you want an exhaust for a Triumph or a KTM or a GasGas or a Husqvarna or a Suzuki or a Honda, like the factory Honda ones that Hunter Lawrence will have in action this weekend. Not Jet, but Hunter and Chance Hymus. Yoshi's got you covered. Go to yoshimura-rd.com. And new sponsors for the Wednesday Weed Show. Wide open midweek Weed Show Wednesday. Fly Racing on board. My guy JT has been dying to sponsor something that I do, and I've been dying to take his money. So Fly Racing, the greatest signing of 2025. Fly Racing grabbing Cooper Webb, and then he wins the Supercross title. Well done. He'll have the number one plate and a number one in the back of his Fly jersey this weekend. And Yamaha's on board with the show as well. So shout out to Yamaha. Use other entrance, or just get Kylie to open the door for you. Big thanks to Yamaha. Go to yamahamotorsports.com for more information on their line of products. This is what the bike gear combo looks like. Let's talk to some of the important people behind the scenes. This is Paolo.
Pleased to meet you.
And just so the rest of the Supercross industry doesn't get your name wrong for the next decade or so, pronounce that for us, and this is your cheat sheet, everybody.
Paolo Ciabatti.
Ciabatti. Now, what's really interesting is as this announcement that the Ducati was going to build a dirt bike and go dirt bike racing came along, your name got attached to it pretty early, and that's a big deal because of the success in World Superbike and MotoGP. So for you personally, why would you go? I mean, you're going from the top of the top. Why would you decide to start over, in a sense?
You know, sometimes you like challenges in your mm-hmm. life. Obviously, we've been quite successful in Superbike, and then when I joined Ducati again in 2013 in charge of MotoGP, my target or our target was to be competitive and possibly win a championship. I was lucky enough to be able to win two championships with Pecco Bagnaia, 22, 23. And then in the meantime, Ducati started this new project, which I liked because as a teenager, I was a motocross racer without very much talent, but I liked it so much. And so I got more and more involved. And when I was offered the opportunity to become general manager of this new division, Ducati Corse Off-Road, I took it because it was possibly the last professional challenge of my career. And being able, hopefully, to bring Ducati to success also in motocross and supercross is really something which motivates me a lot.
The partnerships are really what defines this. We'll talk about Troy Lee Designs and Factory Connection. Talk about how those things came about. Ducati didn't say, we've got this on our own. You've reached out to some very knowledgeable folks.
Yeah, I mean, we know that we need to learn a lot, especially Supercross is a very different discipline to motocross, what we know better in Europe. And, you know, during the past few years, we've been in touch with many, many people here. But talking to Ziggy and then to Troy, we found that they were sharing the same kind of vision, the same, I would say, dream. To try to bring Ducati to success also in Supercross. And with the expertise from Ziggy and the group of people he's been able to put together has been instrumental to being able now to be at Anaheim 1. And obviously, thanks to Troy, who's been also instrumental and a great partner to make this happen. When they asked me a couple of years ago, I said maybe Supercross 27. Now we are in Supercross 26. So I think the hard work that has been done in the past year is now coming to the show. I mean, yeah, it's going to be exciting. Also, maybe we'll be very nervous. The first race is going to be a first race. So far, we think we reached a good level, but until you are behind the gate, you never know exactly what to expect. And let's say we expect to do Anaheim 1 in a kind of smooth way, and then there will be another 16 races to go.
I'm glad you mentioned the 27 versus 26 thing. When a team shows up at Anaheim, everyone's going to look ready, but there have to have been some stressful moments, especially that you've sped the process up a little bit.
Yeah, actually, you know, when we meet with Troy and with Ziggy at Austin MotoGP, I said, okay, let's kind of decide if we can go racing or not around the end of July, because obviously if we're not competitive, it's no point in Ducati racing 1 year earlier than we expected. But I must say that the intense work that has been done has proven to be, you know, successful up to the point. And then we decided, okay, let's take maybe a little bit of risk and let's go racing 26, because I think it was the right time, I know, with the Troy and the partners of the team and so on. So, you know, wow, it was a stressful moment, a kind of brave decision from all the parties involved. But here we are, and we're happy to be taking part in the 2026 Supercross Championship.
All right, we know this guy. We got Dylan Ferrandis here. You made some headlines at the media event last month. You're really happy with the frame, the chassis of this motorcycle. But I think what indicates it, you told me there hasn't been these massively long testing days. It hasn't been needed because you've been pretty good right from the start.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, from day one when I tried the bike in the summer last season, like I felt this bike had what I was looking for many seasons in Supercross.
Yep.
And I was like pretty confident. And yeah, I mean, we did some testing this winter, but it was more about like the challenge was more to build the parts, because obviously for this Ducati bike, nothing exists on Earth. You know, you have to build everything all the time. So that was more biggest challenge for the team than improving the bike. Bike was great. Like for sure for Supercross, we had to change some stuff, but I mean, obviously I've been very happy, and I think the teammate also and the team also.
Okay, so if you're that happy, we're all saying, hey, this is a learning process. Don't expect them to win right off the bat. Or you're like, no, actually, we're a lot closer than you might think. Or is it still a learning process?
No, I believe we can we can say we go for better result. Because like when I ride this bike in Supercross at the practice track, I felt the best I ever felt in Supercross with any other bike. So I know it sounds like very cliche again.
Yeah.
But it is true. Like when I when I leave the track, like I rode yesterday, I leave the track, I'm driving home, I'm like, it's been a good training, you know. I'm happy.
Yeah.
I was fast in the whoops. I was fast in the rhythm. My turn, my speed in the turn were good. Like, you know, like I'm happy. Like it's been good.
Yep.
Where I've been some time in my career where I left the track. Like I was, all right, give me a gun. I'm going to shoot myself, you know, like it's been bad, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Maybe we'll surprise some people.
Yeah, I mean, I know that where I am in my career, like my age and where I am, like I'm not part of the young generation and I'm not like the part of the fittest guy in the field. But yeah, I have experience and I have mainly like this confidence that I can be fast, I can be consistent with this bike. So that helps.
Okay, let's talk about your health. The last couple of years, the bike maybe, this is maybe even a better bike, but were you even where you wanted to be as an athlete the last couple of years?
Unfortunately, no. Was two, 3 years of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I think it start here in the head.
Really?
Like, yeah, because like, you know, when you, like I just say, when you leave the track every day and you're not happy about what you did, like the way I ride, the way I fell on the bike,
mm-hmm.
like it was just difficult. And I always been like a very hard worker and long day testing and it doesn't improve and you show up the next day and you still don't feel good. And it's been like this for me a lot in my career. And yeah, I mean, I've been like busting my ass a lot every day, every week, every month for so many years. And I think my body just couldn't keep up. And so the last couple of seasons, I've been struggling with health more than it's never been really a fitness issue. Because when I'm resting and healthy, like my fitness is great. It's been just like, being healthy. Like this was the biggest problem. And obviously, I reached a point where the 2025 season, I need to stop. Like after the Supercross, I just need to stop and take like 4 weeks with just rest and don't look at the time to wake up. Don't look at the time to go to bed. Don't look at being in shape. Go run, go cycling, go to the gym, go to ride. So I think my body reached this point where I need to rest. So I did. Because I wanted to extend my career. I always feel like I'm not burnt out yet. I'm not like, it's not time for me to retire. It was a couple of years ago. I was really like, I wanted to stop because like, I had no, when I left the track, I was not happy and I was struggling a lot with the bike feel, you know, not having fun on the bike anymore. So I was like, if I stop today, it's fine. But now, like I don't feel like I can retire yet. So that's why I wanted to add this summer break and, you know, rest and be fresh for another season.
Yeah. So, I remember those days. At the end of one of your previous teams, you were like, maybe I'll just retire.
Mm-hmm.
So you're way past that. Even though you're older now, you actually maybe have more leeway than you did 3 years ago.
Yeah. It's mainly when I'm rested. Like,
yeah.
I see the way I perform on the bicycle, at the gym or on a dirt bike. Like, I'm like, damn, like I'm as good as I was at the peak of my career, you know, but it's just that I need to be rest to be that good.
Yeah.
So that's why I had the summer off. And now also I don't train as hard as I was because I need to stay fresh. I need to stay like not too smoke when I go ride, you know,
and
that make the biggest difference to me.
And you haven't had those gnarly days of testing this time around.
No, I mean, we had 2 weeks in December where we've been, like riding from 9 to 5, like testing a lot, but it's never been like crazy.
No gun to the head.
No
gun to the head.
All right. I mean, I don't think that's the right sentence, but that was the best picture I could see.
Hey, we like it. Sometimes I always say there's the lost in translation, just brutal honesty.
Yeah. Yes.
And we like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll surprise some people on Saturday. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that's the plan. Yeah, that's my goal.
Timeline. I don't even know the timeline. I can pull it up. I wrote it all down, dude.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, because I was keeping track. I was keeping track. I was like, what's going on? Like, all right. Ducati, days riding. That's what it looks like. This is funny. Yeah, yeah, I'll read it to you. Ducati Days Riding. And that, so I had 10 days. And then I did my collarbone November 13th. Surgery the 17th. Back riding December 22nd. And then I did 2 days SX. A day of MX. 3 days SX. And then a day SX. So we got, yeah, we got two, three, a week and week back at it. Yeah, that was good, right? I made, yeah, I kept track. It was for my, it was for myself. If I don't write things down, I'll forget. I'll be like, when did you hurt yourself? Oh, I don't know. So, yeah. Oh, like 15 days total, I think. Good.
Really?
Yeah, no, I came back better than where I left off. Like, the bike, we got more parts and things like that. So, like, the first day I started where I was, and then the second day we went right into trying things, and I haven't changed it too much the last few days. I'm quite comfortable. Yeah, time will tell, of course. But, yeah, you know, my goal is to be racing, and, like, I feel quite good. So, but we need to go racing and see how good I feel. Anyone can feel good practicing, so... No, so, like, I didn't have any pain. So that was good. It was just, honestly, my shoulder hurt. And when I talked to Dr. Berg, he's kind of like, yeah, dude, like, probably got some cracks in there because you had to hit really hard to break your collarbone. So, because you're not moving that much when you do your collarbone. So once I got working out, moving and riding, it was, my shoulder was pretty sore. But now I'm good. Yeah. Obviously, now it's just kind of building the fitness back and the muscles. And but, yeah, that's just need to be racing.
There's a funny thing you said in the video that I watched. The idea that you would be racing is just crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy crazy for anyone to think, besides maybe the people who really knew that they were going to make a dirt bike.
Yeah.
Like, it's – well, for instance, even yesterday, like, we're up in the high desert because it's been raining down here and riding in two gentlemen in Ducati sweaters. And Ziggy goes, he made the bike and he's the main, like, guy building the parts. I was like, wow. Okay, this is impressive. So yeah, it's incredible. It's a cool, I would just say a cool career achievement for that, but like now for me to be able to go race it and like see what we can do is even cooler.
Alright, that's our show. We're gonna let people drive parts. If I waited an hour I could probably take my turn. I got a ticket in my pocket to go drive, but I gotta get home to get this show edited for you folks. And then I'm gonna try to set the Guinness Book of World Records of most things posted in a week. I got like 3 or 4 a day. I'm going to the AIM Expo trade show tomorrow at the Anaheim Convention Center. I'm doing something for Fox on Thursday. We got the press conference at the stadium with rehearsal Thursday night. I think Mathis is doing a live show down at the Pro Circuit. If you want to come out Thursday night, I'm going to try to join those guys there. And there's so much to talk about. Obviously, the lion's share of the attention right now is on this unveiling of the team and the look. But let's be honest. This is a wild Supercross situation with Jet Lawrence being out and so many other great riders still being in. I think a storyline that's been slept on a little bit is the kind of historic now rivalry between Cooper Webb, Chase Sexton, and Eli Tomac. I know that combinations like Villopoto Dunge, or I was talking to Jeff Ward, him versus Rick Johnson back in the day, or Stu, Chad, Ricky, all that, those are iconic rivalries and battles, but Cooper Webb won his first Supercross title in 2019, and then Tomac won his first one the year after, and Tomac had already been winning races years before that. And then Sexton has inserted himself into that conversation in multiple title series over the last couple of years. You're really looking at 7 or 8 years now of some combination of those three winning all the titles that Jet Lawrence hasn't been involved in. That's basically how it's gone. So Jet's out. So you've got these three with probably a lot more history than we're really thinking of, because it's not iconic level rivalry, but look, Sexton and Webb took it down to just 3 points between the two of them at the end of last year. And here's Eli Tomac with another shot at it, which wasn't even supposed to happen. And now he's got just as good a chance as anyone. And then, of course, all the others that you can leave in the comments that I'm not mentioning, be it Ken Roczen or Jason Anderson or Hunter Lawrence, Aaron Plessinger and Justin Cooper and Malcolm Stewart, on and on the list goes. Very, very intriguing. But we'll get to that with the traditional Weege pre-show that we'll do on Friday. Thanks to the sponsors, it's Yoshimura, Yamaha, Fly Racing. And do us a favor on the RacerX side, go to racerxonline.com/survey, or just look at the survey link, the breaking news link on the site, and do us a favor. Just tell us what you like, what you don't like, what products you like, what products you don't like. It helps us be smarter with how we operate our operation for you. And we reward you with a lot of cool prizes, up to $6,400 worth of prizes on the line. All you got to do is fill out the survey. It's free. And then you're entered to win a whole bunch of cool stuff. And subscribe to the Mag now. I got to get in while the door's open. And we'll give you the calendar for 2026, which has, we ask all the great photographers, thank you, to give us your best photos. And we put it in the calendar. And that's free if you subscribe to the Mag. So do that. I'm going to grab my bag. Do I keep the jacket? Do I keep the jacket? Yeah, I think I keep the jacket. Thanks for watching.